metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence with Vince, John Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this October the 4th on the West Coast, now October the 5th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to welcome you to the new BBSRadio.com, the new Evident Footprints on station number 2. And also, we want to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network. Appreciate all the compliments on my guest appearance with Drew Malone Raines III on his A Marine's Disquisition. Yes, we did go down the rabbit hole and exposed some corruption, more corruption. It's all coming together, folks, and we're going to keep doing that. Got to tell you, despite all the bad news that's out there, and no thanks to the mainstream media, all of their news is bad, and most of it is garbage. On the alternative media, we have a tendency to try to show you the truth about what's really going on, and when they start doing good things, we will begin to report good things. You may get some good reports tonight. Both myself and tonight's guest have had recent contact. And we'll talk about the nature of that contact. We've been apprised of things that are going on. We pretty much have a handle on what's going on just on the basis of the day-in and day-out research that we each do, the mutual conversations we have on each other's shows and the writings that we read from one another, and the networking of people throughout the world who are finally waking up and realizing that, yes, we can take our countries back. We can stop this madness, this evil from destroying the planet Earth. There's no plausible reason for that to even occur. And yet it seems to be the agenda of those that have controlled this planet for so many thousands of years. Their gig is up. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again tonight. And eventually, we will all come to experience that. Of course, you'll have those that still watch American Idol, Dancing with the Stars, and go bowling 3 or 4 nights a week. I guess it's their prerogative to make that choice. And for those of you who are waking up, we congratulate you. We welcome you to this show and others like this show. And As far as what we're going to reveal to you as the days go on, I think you're going to see a lot of truth in what we've been telling you over the past 3 years on this show and even on tonight's show. My guest hosts his own show on the Micro Effect Network. The show is called The Story Behind the Story. He is a PhD and naturopathic doctor, an author, a lecturer, a videographer, documentarian, and our good friend, Dr. A. Truott. Dr. Ott, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Don. It's a pleasure again to be on the show and to share some of the breaking stories behind the story, as we call it. Friday on my radio show with my guest, Dr. Mike Castle, I brought the subject up. I received a documented email from my good friend and contact in Washington, D.C. concerning ex-Senator Ted Stevens, and what happened to him was not an accidental plane crash, but was a directed energy scalar pulse that brought his plane down. We received verification of that from other sources, as you know, Don. Mm-hmm. And so we talked about the subject of why they were, you know, the powers that be wanted Senator Stevens out of the Senate, and what he was working on and exposing. He was ready to blow the whistle on the true nature of the HAARP project up there in his native Alaska. Mm-hmm. Incredible story. And yes, first of all, he had to be discredited, so they made up this this bogus story of corruption. And what I just like to again reemphasize on your show tonight is the nature of that setup, the charges brought against him. It was just the most ludicrous thing, and yet the good people of Alaska seem to have bought into the media hype and sensation, and he was voted out of office. Again, it was just the anti-establishment kick them all out project, which culminated with, you know, any scent of corruption. What the story goes is he had a home remodel there at his place in Alaska, and the charges were that he got it basically at a huge discount. It was a wrongful contribution, but all of this was not proven in court. It was just all allegations right at re-election time. And 2008 saw he lost his re-election bid. And then the proceeding, you know, in the criminal trials afterwards, it was all thrown out, all shown to be an absolute, you know, witch hunt against him. And then he said, well, I'm going to continue to expose why they want me out. And so the story that I talked about and shared was the summit meeting he had with who was present, and what they were putting together as far as information on HARP, and that's the reason why they were taken out.
Well, there's been a lot of whistleblowing about HARP and what it's intended to do. We do know that it's got the capability of being an anti-missile system, and basically it can create an array to sense and destroy missiles. And when they're not shooting missiles at us, they're shooting us with it and shooting the ionosphere and the whole planet, causing earthquakes and volcanoes and hurricanes, tornadoes, all of this abnormal weather that we've been having. You know, those of us that grew up appreciating the four seasons, we don't see the four seasons anymore. And they want to tell us, well, this is global warming. This is the fault of you for using so much gasoline. Don't take responsibility for bringing the oil out of the ground. Just blame us for using the products, or provide us with, I don't want to say fossil-based, because I don't feel that fossil based fuels are a reality. I think we could make fossil-based fuels out of politicians, though, and or use them as fertilizer. But I wouldn't want to eat anything grown out of that kind of fertilizer. So, you know, we just get every kind of story that you can imagine, except the truth about everything going on this planet, and that's becoming rather old hat. And yes, HARP has been used as a psychotronic weapon, electromagnetic frequencies, extremely low frequencies that harm the earth, that harm nature, and by transitive property, human life. We're like a bunch of guinea pigs on this planet. And imagine what it would be like to be a guinea pig. You know, comparing what people are going through, guinea pigs might have it a little better, in fact. Because at least they know the lights come on the next day and they go through the same routine. They don't have to pay attention to the lies that we do. And this is all coming full circle on them now. The truth is coming out. There are enough people that know what HARP is about. And they certainly are seeing the effects of its misuse. Now, I don't want to steal your thunder. I want to allow you to share the information that you have. Go ahead. And I don't mean to sound like I'm ranting.
No. Not at all. There's the evidence that Stevens was going to release, evidently, was showing the strong evidence. You know, nothing is for sure until you have a conviction in the bag, etc. But you know, the key points are, you know, what happened in Russia, in and around Moscow this last summer, was absolutely biblical. You had these bog fires. There, you know, the bogs were drying out because of the drought and the massive heat wave. Keep in mind the latitude of Moscow is, you know, quite northern, and to have that type of a heat wave, the bog, which is like, you know, like the tundra, to imagine it all drying out and then just, you know, catching fire, the combined heat and smoke and high humidity just created some very dangerous, you know, conditions. There are many thousands of Muscovites were hospitalized and many died, you know, during the summer. And since the record keeping began there in Russia, they never seen anything like that. And then, as I said on the Friday show, there were actual reports from a number of professional meteorologists that bucked the censorship system in the UK and came out with the, you know, explanation that something very bizarre is happening to the jet stream, the upper system flow, that it split and was moving around the area of Moscow like it was in an island. There was no movement whatsoever. And he said that just doesn't, it's not natural in the least. Something had to be causing that other than just natural forces. So we know that the Ted Stevens was fully ready to blow the whistle. He had a couple of other powerful Washington D.C. power brokers that were going to help him expose all of the shenanigans going on and really bring the House of Cards down around Barack Obama's head and his whole administration. So the order was given, in fact, to utilize a scalar Tesla type of weapon on the private plane, the de Havilland aircraft that was ferrying them back, and they did crash, and Stevens was killed along with Mr. Phillips of the Phillips Petroleum Company, etc. And so, yeah, it's a huge story that nobody's really talking about in the lower 48. The people in Moscow know that there was some very strange occurrences with the weather patterns there, but you also have weather bombarding China, the flooding, the great floods that have hit China this year, pretty much wiped out much of their food crop, the grain crop, and ditto with Russia. There was a very poor grain year. So the first time in at least a decade, there's huge demands on the American grain futures and crops for this winter because of the summer of the discontent of the weather patterns.
Mm-hmm. It's been a number of years, Dr. Ott, that we've been seeing stories come out that scientists are speculating that there may be some sort of a polar shift going on, that we're entering a period where we may be entering a new ice age or a glacial period, if you want to refer to it as that. And the cold weather is predicted to be moving south as far as Saudi Arabia. You're talking about moving all the way to the equator. Well, that would be highly unnatural. And if that were to occur, one would have to presume not that they were able to discern that this was going to happen by some sacred vision, but it was planned to be that way just by applying the technology. And these adverse or these very anomalous weather conditions show that there's something going on there in conjunction with, again, a picking up of chemtrail spraying, the poisoning of the skies, new ingredients being found by those that are studying this on a scientific level or a forensic level. it seems like somebody in the world would have a conscience. Somebody involved in that thing would have a conscience. What are your thoughts on that? Because we don't hear the weathermen say anything about it other than it's ice crystals. Isn't that dichotomous with their statement that we're entering a period of global warming? You know, that we have ice crystals 10,000 feet high?
Well, yeah, anytime you disrupt the natural rhythm. And again, let me just explain to listeners who may not know what HAARP is even all about. There's an amazing amount of people, even those that are tuned to the rotten conspiracy, that really don't understand what HAARP it really is. The HAARP is a series of 360 power generators with 100 that power 180 big 22-meter high arrays that focus this energy, 3,600 kilowatts of energy, into the upper ionosphere. And what that does is it causes that to be radiated, energized, which they can then take that energy field and then transfer it to specific satellites. Originally, this was developed by Atlantic Richfield Company, ARCO, as a means to do sonogram type of MRI readings of the Earth's crust, looking for oil underneath the surface of the planet. That was what it was technically designed to do. But of course, the good folks at DARPA and the Pentagon realized that the same technology could be used to harness the weather. You can use the weather as a powerful military weapon, and the plausible deniability is built in. Oh, you mean to say that we control the weather? Well, that's an act of God. That, you know, you've got to change your prayer patterns, people, because God's taking his fury out on you for your sins. That's the general consensus, isn't it? See, well,
God doesn't need the technology to perform his own.
So yeah, this is what's happened. Also, the technology is used to communicate with the deep sea submarines that the same energy could use to boost the DEFCON capabilities for the deep ranging nuclear submarines, which are carrying the nuclear weapons. So, in a way, HAARP is important in the communications network for the Pentagon to communicate with the deep sea submarine fleet. But what can't be overlooked is the ability again to focus these energy patterns on the jet stream and cause the accumulation of energy to the most powerful, furious, low pressure systems, even to guide such things as hurricanes to a prescribed course, and then of course to cause heat and drought under the disguise of global warming. Yeah, there's areas that are experiencing, you know, extremely record-breaking heat and drought conditions, but as that occurs in one area, the other part of the world that has, you know, been manipulated is experiencing just the opposite: heavy rains and or unseasonably cold weather.
Yes. Now, HAARP was originally funded by Atlantic Richfield, and they were bought out. And wasn't it a company by the name of BP, British Petroleum, that bought them out?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, there again, it goes back to what I explained today tonight on my show, Don. It's the history of the Vatican, the history of where the so-called Catholic Church began in the year 312, You know, it's just amazing, Don, that all these millions of Catholic people, 68 million supposedly in America, they don't even know the origins of their church. I mean, 312 AD, it comes out of the pagan sun god worshiping Constantine. He was clearly building temples to Baal, the sun god, while he was, you know, trying to amalgamate the two, the religion of Christianity with that of paganism. And the conversion, so-called, to Christianity was more of a political move to consolidate his base of power. There was no spiritual motivation for this.
No, not at all. In fact, their actions belie, and their words belie, I should say, their words belie their actions. That's for certain.
There's no group of cardinals to elect a pope. Constantine put himself on as the first pope. And is there any direct lineage to authority from Peter? No, not only no, but hell no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if I may be so bold. So, and again, look at how long has America been in existence? 200 years? Okay, 200 and a little over 200?
Yeah, well, we're pushing 230, but we have a way to go. So.
Yeah, but imagine 300 years of existence since the death of the apostles and the advent of the Christian Catholic, so-called Christian Church. Well, that's a long time to simmer without any type of an organized structure. And yet Constantine wants the world to believe that he got his authority directly from Peter, the apostle. It beggars the imagination. And then, of course, the amalgamation of the pagan holidays, the ritual of the death of the sun god. This is in the temples of the pagan Baal. They would follow the cycles of the sun from, you know, its lowest point on the calendar, which was the death of the sun. It was the shortest day of the year, and that's the winter solstice of December 21st. Well, the tradition of the pagan sun god is that at that time he would die and be in purgatory for 3 days, and then born again, he would be resurrected and live again. He'd be born. His birthday would be 3 days after the shortest day of the year. So 3 days after the December 21st would put us to Christmas Eve, 24th of December, and then 25th would be the birth of the sun god. So Constantine, well, amalgamated that tradition into Christianity and declared that was the birthday of Jesus Christ. And made Jesus Christ basically the effigy of the sun god.
Yes, even the day of worship has been changed. You know, the Sabbath I'm speaking of, the day of the Sabbath was traditionally Saturday. In Italian, the word for Saturday is sabato. And they took that and changed that to Sunday. And again, they worshiped the sun on that day. But that's not S-O-N, as in the Son of God.
All right. Sunday is a day worshiping the sun god. And that was decreed again by the Roman gods, the Roman emperors.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we just have to realize this is all just an amalgamation. And the Protestant reformers that, you know, understood there's truth in the Christian ideal, the Christian doctrine of grace, the spiritual reality of that, you know, the God of love and light. there's a reality there that they needed to break away and to reform this mother church. And so we get the doctrine of the saved by grace through the confessing of the Spirit, and that's a real honest to goodness truth of light coming out. Because, you know, you don't need to really have a handle of belief in the mind to experience the change of heart and soul. And that's, there's miracles that happen every day across this planet. But then you've got the false pagan gods of Allah, which is Baal, the, you know, that's where the origins of the Muslim faith come from. Again, a subset of these, the ancient sun god religions.
Yes. You know, it's interesting that you bring this up, because I got an email, I think it was yesterday, actually. Well, 2 days ago now, according to the date. But one of our listeners in Minnesota, who happens to be a musician, music producer, and accomplished, you know, is doing some really good work in some different areas commercially, went to a wedding, and he noticed that two of the entrances to the church, the front and side entrances, had flyers for bingo and potluck dinners, and there was a conversion prayer attached to the doors, and I'd like to read this to you. Because it demonstrates what you're talking about, although there's a slight twist to who we should be praying to. I'm reading directly off the poster. These are in bold letters, very large, typed out. Offer the following prayer to St. Paul for the conversion of President Barack Obama, concluding with an Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be. O St. Paul the Apostle, great convert, preacher of truth, and doctor of the Gentiles, intercede for us to God who chose you. You are a vessel of election, O St. Paul the Apostle, preacher of truth, to the whole world. O God, you have instructed many nations through the preaching of the blessed Apostle Paul. Let the power of St. Paul's intercession bring about the conversion of President Barack Obama to the fullness of your grace. Help the president to recognize the personhood of all human beings, born and preborn. Help us who venerate St. Paul's memory this day to continually seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit as we work to spread your truth. And then there's a request to order 100 cards with this message on it for $7.
Oh boy.
And of course there's a mailing address in Stafford, Virginia. You can send your money to this address. And then they have his picture. They have the usurper there. Now, and then underneath it, it says a prayer for the conversion of President Barack Obama. Seems to me that there's some vital characters being left out whom you would supplicate at such a time. Evidently, and they called him the vessel of election. From what I know of St. Paul in the Bible, he was self-appointed. And much of his teaching actually conflicted with the first three testaments in the New Testament, first three books in the New Testament. That's my opinion, but he's the doctor of the Gentiles, and it seems like, you know, the emphasis is put on St. Paul. So it's more like we're asking St. Paul to be converted than we are Barack Obama. Why is it everything has to be done in a dogmatic way? Isn't it just simple for anyone to get on their knees, open their heart, and talk to God and say, we're fed up with this. We want the truth to prevail. We want the evil to cease and take it somewhere else. It's pretty simple. We don't need this song and dance of you know, getting this subtle message about abortion there, by saying the preborn. What about, there's no mention of the aliens, you know, people from other, the evil ones, the demons. There's nothing about exorcising the demons. You would think you would hear a message like that. We're dealing with pure evil here. You know, this is too melancholy.
Yeah,
he's kind of what I'm saying. Your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I don't think the Catholics need to pray for Barack Obama to be converted. He's already converted to, you know, the demonic presences that is the Catholic Church and the synagogue of Satan. You know, I know that's hard for good Catholics to accept. It's like it's hard for good Mormons to hear, but it's the truth. I mean, the origins of Catholicism go back to the darkest parts of the earth. I mean, literally, the Vatican, the St. Peter's Basilica is the covering of a very dark entrance into the subterranean passages. Some of the most foul catacombs in the world are there, and they hold some very dark secrets, Don.
Yes. See, I would anticipate a prayer to liberate the church from pedophilia, or you're praying for a usurper. You know, why not? What kind of conversion? Conversion to what?
To Mormonism?
Or maybe Christianity? Is that what they're asking? I mean, what does that mean? Intercede, you know, to bring about the conversion. You know, we were promised hope and change. Well, we got change, you know. We certainly did. There are two things that need changing in this country, and that's the baby's diapers and the government.
They both stink.
Yeah. You know, I mean, on a regular basis, that's what we should be seeing. But, you know, this is an attempt to politicize what's the corruption that's going on in this country. You know, forgiveness is one thing. I talk about this. I talk about, you know, having a forgiving heart. But you forgive those who repent, do you not? Those that are above and beyond repentance don't deserve forgiveness. And I think God would agree on that. That's why God periodically sweeps his hand over this planet and floods it and causes all kinds of upheavals in the topography. And even if he has to get rid of all the life on the planet to scourge it of all the poison and the toxins and the evil, he would do that just to start over again and give souls a fresh start. You know, this has gotten way out of hand, but he would hope that we would do something about it. And you know, this person has no business being in the position of president of the United States. He has no right to it. And it's an affront. And the church has no business. They want to be separated from the state. They have no business even to consider that. It's one thing to pray that we have wise leaders. That's what they should be praying for, an honest government, a truthful government, a loving, subservient government, not a dictatorship.
A Republican form of representation.
Yes, of course. That's the political the terminology. You get my point here. But I thought that was kind of interesting that someone actually took the time to get a copy of this and send it to me, you know, so that I could share this with the listeners. This is the propaganda. They'll even use God's house, the church, to spread political propaganda.
Yeah.
And they want to talk about spreading God's truth. You know, I don't see on here anywhere, where's the birth certificate? Don't see that there. Certainly don't.
Well, it's like I expose. I don't mean to mock anybody's religion, but it's you have to step outside the box and just wonder what are these little plastic effigies. I remember when I was On my LDS mission, I served in Syracuse, New York, which is really quite heavy Catholic, and there was a young man who was upset at his mother for praying to the little plastic Mary on her dashboard, you know, and so he wrote a little ditty, a little song that he sang, and she got so mad at him, she about disowned him. It basically went like this. I remember this so well because we were singing it with him. Mother Mary, full of grace, help me find a parking place right here on the dashboard of my car. I don't care if it rains or freezes as long as I got my plastic Jesus right here on the dashboard of my car. Peter, Paul, and Mary, too. Well, we even got a plastic zoo right here on the dashboard. It goes on and on. I mean, he was seriously questioning, you know, the priests, they kind of feed off of this lunacy. I mean, when you got an idol of that nature and you literally pray to that idol, what's the difference between that and a pagan temple of Babylon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are idols. And, but because they're presented by the leadership of the church, and it's condoned all the way, you know, to the Vatican. Not all Catholics are under the jurisdiction of the Vatican, by the way. You know, some of them are quick to point that out. But again. Yet, like you said, you know, it's not about attacking one's religion or criticizing it, one's faith, if you want to call it that. If it brings you closer to God in a real way, and you're not brainwashed by it, then it's fine. What's wrong with it? I feel that way really about any religion, as long as it doesn't take life out, you know, the gift of life out of the individual or away from the individual and put it in the hands of the corrupt and the evil. That's basically what we have here. And I'm saying in government and those religions that are quick to jump on the bandwagon with the government are doing that merely to enrich themselves. And this is where we see corruption in the church as well.
Right.
You know, this is spiritual warfare, we keep saying to people. Not to be religious, it's spiritual. You don't have to go to church to see the power of spirit. All you have to do is look up at the sky at night and in amazement at the wonder of the stars and the planets. And if you spend any, you know, 15 minutes, you can't walk away from that experience any day of the, or night of the week. Can't walk away and not feel moved by the expanse of the heavens. And you're seeing a minute fraction of it. You're seeing a speck of it, if that much. And to contemplate the size of it and the diversity and the potentiality of all the different life forms and the different types of consciousness and how they're all perfectly interwoven together. It doesn't need our interference, but it thrives on our cooperation and our understanding, our consciousness, our being attuned to it. And all these things you're talking about, like the HARP technology, is designed to try to thwart that, to separate us from that. And it does. It's destructive. It kills. It kills life on the planet, and we're part of that life. How long do you think it's going to take mankind to wake up to that reality? I know I've asked you this before, but
well, like I said too, the interceding of the other planetary hosts. I mean that understand if you start messing with this ecosystem of this planet, just like I said earlier on my show, Donnie, you got a series of small cells that causes chain reaction disruption in your body, you're going to maybe develop a cancer that can, you know, can kill the whole organism. Well, even though the immensity of space is infinite, there's no end to it, there's all the interconnectivity to it that is dependent, you know, on a symbiotic relationship. And so here's these independent planets of the universe that are watching and observing the lunacy going on this planet. And the, you know, I liken it as a metaphor to a college weightlifter who has a younger brother that's a freshman in high school. And, you know, he's sitting there watching his brother get picked on by the class, by the schoolyard bullies, and rob of his lunch money. And yet the brother knows that it's important that he works it out himself and not have to, you know, look and have him intercede without invitation. And that's the way I look at it. If the cause is just and the need is there, I think this federation can definitely intercede to for the most important reason of all, and that's for the human being to be given a chance to develop spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
If you have this type of socialism and control of the human mind, what follows is you have abject slavery of the soul as well, Don, and that's not conducive to harmonics in the universe.
Exactly. And, you know, as you were explaining just a few of the peculiarities of what HARP can wreak upon the planet, upon the atmosphere, upon nature, and upon mankind, if you consider in the context that those energies move out into space and affect other realities on a multidimensional scale, there is no reason for others who have advanced beyond this insanity and this chaos and this evil on this planet to tolerate it. The universe is, I've said this on some recent shows, it's like a huge mirror that mirrors back everything to us, but it's constantly the energies that we put out, whether there are thought forms, whether it's our creativity, our love, our acts of kindness and goodness, and the things that we do that abide by universal law, are going to harmonize with the other aspects of universal law. We don't have to understand exactly how those things work. But certainly to understand the principle in its most fundamental form would lead us to a form of consciousness that would awaken our higher gifts and our intelligence. Mm-hmm. You can't know these things and pretend like they're not real or pretend like they're not there. And likewise, telling everyone they're not there and murdering those that are telling the truth that these things are there and they're available to everyone is intended to stop the progression, the spiritual awakening that's a natural process everywhere in the universe, because the universe is constantly interactive with itself. It never has divided itself into parts that it's separated. Only the choices of those entities or beings that have exercised their free will to separate themselves from it are the only exceptions to that law. And to forcefully dominate others to the extent that you rob them of that right, that God-given sovereign right to be sovereign and to determine your own fate by the decisions you make in harmony, in conjunction with the rest of the universe, are the real true gifts that should be the operating system for any reality, any planet. Why do we need politics to run a planet? when we've got God's laws?
Well, I guess there's reasons for everything, done in its own sphere to a certain extent. Why do we have ticks that suck blood? You know,
because they couldn't make it in politics.
Well, poly means numerous or many, and ticks are blood sucking insects. I mean, so there's got to be a reason for that somewhere coming. There's got to be a reason why God made a tsetse fly. I don't know what it is, but there you go. No, if you look at the history lines, the historical timelines, you know, there's not an honest archaeologist in this world that has studied the origins of Babylon and the origins of Egypt, which are pretty much along the same lines. These civilizations just bam appeared on the earth at a very high level of sophistication. The architectural buildings that they put together, the incredible stoneworks, the carvings, the pillars. These things did not evolve from primitive Stone Age man. These came fully bloom in all their technological might, which clearly has some extra terrestrial origins.
Oh, didn't you ever consider that it was the 100th monkey syndrome?
No. So the point I'm making is there's the civilizations that came from the star systems, which had their loyalties given to the reptilian serpent dragon god of that star system, and that's what you said. They demand that all other human life forms on the planet are basically put into their control. They become human cattle. They call them goyim. They're subjugating them to, you know, and us to their women desire, all because of, you know, that's the agenda of the fallen serpent, the fallen god. So you've got that segment of lunacy that's been on this planet since well before the common era, before the advent of Christ. And so then you have Christ who really understood the origins, understood who God the Creator truly is, and the false gods of the serpent ones that would want to dismiss that. I mean, I'm being overly simplistic here, surely.
Yeah, but, I understand what your point, though.
But it goes back to show from those origins you have the beginnings of the Catholic Church. The historical reality is Judea, the land of Palestine, was a royal thorn in the buttocks of the Roman emperor at the time after Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. There was a huge amount of zealots, saying this is time to overthrow, you know, the Roman, Roman legions under Titus came and basically fulfilled the prophecies of Christ. The temple was destroyed. Every stone was pulled away. 20,000 Babylonian Jews, they weren't even called Jews back then. It wasn't until the 400 AD that the name Jews even came out of the Roman Catholic lexicon. But the Palestinians that were there in the synagogues were taken captive. The bloodlines were taken into Rome. There was 20,000 of them taken into Rome. In fact, Titus himself was bewitched by the daughter of King Herod Agrippa. Her name was Bernice. He married her. And from that from that liaison came, you know, the eventual descendants that became known as, you know, the Constantine bloodline. Why should we be surprised then that 300 years into the picture that they start to blend the paganism of the Romans with that of the Christian tradition? And there you have it. That's the origins of the Catholic Christianity.
Well, let's not forget, and I'm not correcting you. I mean, this comes to mind. You remind me of Julius Caesar's affair with Cleopatra, and her being revered in Rome, as if she was a daughter of Rome, and her falling out of favor with the Romans upon the assassination of Julius Caesar. And then later on, her liaison with Mark Antony, which brought her temporarily back into power in Egypt. And then, you know, with great consternation by the Romans. Why this fascination with Egypt? Well, could it have been because of the pyramids or the Great Sphinx? These monuments that... we know so little about, even with modern science today, we can't get a straight answer from science. We can't get a straight answer from those who know the religions and the politics and the history of Egypt. It's all being hidden. All these artifacts that are being dug up from underneath these monuments at Giza, for example. What are the secrets that they're hiding? What do you think they're so enthralled with there? Is that alien technology, do you think? Or is it
it ties into the holographic hall of records that's exposed in the book by written by Peter Moon and Radu. That are, you know, the civilization that was here 70,000 years ago was most definitely from, you know, had the culture of the alien system. These were humanoids, but they were giants, 17 feet tall or so, with six toes and six fingers. The holographic hall of records has this chair that you sit, that is designed for a 16, 17 foot high individual, and the control desk would indicate again a six fingers being utilized, with six did, you know, six buttons and six control knobs. So. Yeah, that's a fantastic story. And by the way, Radu Sinemar says that, you know, they've actually gone into the tunnel system which connects all the continents, every single one. There's a holographic hall of records there in Bucecii Mountains of Romania. There is a hall of records, a holograph that's kept, the knowledge of it is kept in the Buddhist monasteries there under the Tibetan mountains of the Himalayas.
Mm-hmm.
You've got
Lhasa, Tibet, yeah.
A hall of records under the Sphinx in Egypt, and there's records of a South American Hall of Records and a North American Hall of Records in the southern part of the east-west mountain range called the Uinta Mountains of Utah.
Yeah, and they're building a new one there in Utah, are they not? Or they're not calling it that, but that's probably what it's going to be if they succeed.
Oh, it's not a Hall of Records. It's a mind control center. Yeah, the NSA center you're talking about.
Well, yeah, I'm being somewhat facetious in calling it that.
Well, you shouldn't call it. I mean, you shouldn't even joke about that. That's one of the most nefarious things that is going on, and we really need the help of the Federation to expose and to stop. I mean, there is no logical reason for that monstrosity to be built other than the culmination of Newt Gingrich's and others, the New World Order Illuminists, that's their ultimate control and wet dream.
Mm-hmm.
Being manifest there.
Yeah. I was alerted to the fact that I was being briefed on something this evening during your show, and I hated to miss it. I'm going to have to try to get the archive to listen to the show. But you referenced something that I would like you to repeat on this show for anyone that didn't tune into your show for whatever reason. And this show is going to be rebroadcast during the day or night in some parts of the country, as well as overseas on the Wind Talkers Radio Network. And I'd like people that didn't hear your announcement regarding a HARP and an ultimatum that was issued, if you would be so kind to do that.
Yeah, I had I forwarded on the show Friday the content to the liaison of the Galactic Federation. I understand that they have one or maybe more than one human resident of the Earth that's basically the liaison with them to this planet. And he confirmed everything that I said on the Thursday show. He said indeed that their intelligence showed that Stevens was taken out. There was a directed energy weapon that did in fact take his plane out. And I was I was asking for any type of intermediary help that they felt like they could justify. And so he writes me back, true, I had an emergency meeting with Bob Gates and two Pentagon generals yesterday, which, of course, was Sunday. At their request, via an encrypted secure message system. This meeting took place at a remote, secret Air Force facility. They, Gates and the generals, were in a panic, afraid that we were about to destroy their system. I'm assuming they was talking about the HARP system there. I assured them that we would if they continued to use it for malevolent reasons. Otherwise, we would not. I demanded all manipulation of weather patterns for warring purposes or population control to cease immediately. I also demanded that any use of directed energy sources against individuals except terrorists involved in the destruction of the United States or any nation cease immediately. I reiterated the demand of the use against benevolent spacecraft to cease or destruction would proceed. They were in confusion as to how to distinguish between the good guys and the bad guys. My intelligence people who were with me gave them the information they needed via encrypted transmission data of our different propulsion systems. We, of course, did not give them our sensitive codes. They were satisfied and assured us that our demands would be met. We will see if their word is true or not. Please expose as much of this as you can without risking your life. We will continue to monitor any activity against you and stop it if possible. God bless. That's the message.
Yes, and I got the same message as well. And so I know you're telling the truth here. And you know, there are a lot of people that ask the question, why doesn't the Federation do this and why don't they do that? Well, they're not here to interfere. They're certainly here to help if they can, and they have been. I've alluded to that fact during the Haitian earthquakes. Despite the billions of dollars that were collected, those people still have not received that money. And I can tell you that the Federation did go in and rescue thousands of people from collapsed buildings. They saved many, many lives. They've also done this in China during the China quakes. I haven't talked about that, but all of this truth is going to start coming out now. You don't need to watch a YouTube video to hear the truth, okay? And you certainly don't need to watch one filled with propaganda and mind control. We're just point blank telling you what we know and what we have great reason to trust as being the truth. It looks like the truth. It smells like the truth. It walks like the truth. It talks like the truth. It's not a duck. It's the truth.
It's the true.
So, take that to heart, folks. If you're listening with your hearts, you can feel that message. And I want to mention something. I got some pictures from one of my dear friend's wife and their neighbor up in upstate Michigan. This is from Greg Evenson's wife, Liz, that I received some chemtrail photos. Greg started doing his show again on Sunday afternoons. He's back with RBN, and they basically approached him about coming on and sharing some of his information. And, of course, he's been going around the country helping people prepare for anything that might occur and have people be ready for any event to the best of his ability. Of course, those that don't know, Greg Evenson is a former Kansas state trooper. He's also worked in forensics, in, let's say, intelligence-related law enforcement. And he's a Ph.D. He's a criminologist. He teaches courses in college in criminology. And we sort of got together through the same person. That was Marianne Ponder, who actually gave her life for the Patriot movement, literally. She was about to do something very great to help many of the returning soldiers from around the world that had no place to go. And she was building a facility called Brother's House, and she was just, this was her way of giving to all those fine people that have been protecting the country and preserving democracy, as they like to say in politics. Yet her approach was just a godly approach. The woman was a saint. She brought me and Drew Raines together and Greg Evenson. And from that time, Greg took an interest in my research and the research of others, by the way. In fact, he reads your stuff, too. We talk about it from time to time. And we got into discussions about God, the nature of God, the fact that Jesus has visited many planets, not just in our solar system, but throughout the universe, and has done so a long time ago. And these other civilizations on these other planets, just in our galaxy, have gotten the message. They've figured it out. And they've been gifted with a tremendous gift of all the spiritual gifts, whether you want to talk about learning to speak many tongues or learning to speak the languages, not just of this earth, but other planets. They've got some people that speak 30 languages fluently. And, you know, and they come across a new one, and in a short time, they learn it. They have the gift of clairvoyance, clairaudience, telepathy. And so they take note of a lot of my work. And then someone who comes from a forensic background, and I sort of apply a logic to it, like Greg Evenson says, you know, I'd hate to be investigated by you. and he's, of course, he says it in a joking way, but he knows that I take my research very seriously. I'm after the truth. And if the truth is killing millions of people and intends to kill, if I find out that the stories about this are true, that's what I really mean to say, truth is not going to murder anyone. It's those that deny it and abuse it and obfuscate it. or mask it in something that appears attractive to one's physical or mental senses. Greg sees in my work that my intention is to bring the truth forward. And what is wrong with that? What is really wrong with that? Well, the only people that would have a problem with that are those that are corrupt and have hidden it from so many. How is it, you know, and I question things on a much deeper level, because I know the Federation has moved through this obstacle of consciousness. There's a point where one begins to see the bigger picture. How can you ever deny it once you understand it? And those mm-hmm. people see the whole picture. They see it in their technology and their scientific prowess and their medical prowess, in their spiritual prowess. And, you know, they have the most advanced technology in this galaxy, in the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon. They're 1,000 years ahead of their competitors in space. To forget about where their technology is in comparison to what we have here. You can't begin to imagine what that's like. 1,000 times. That may be an understatement, actually. May be a miscalculation. But they say it's about 1,000 times more advanced than that of their adversaries. So there's not a whole lot in this level of existence that they don't already know and has not been a part of their experience. We don't have to get into, are these people, do they have pink skin, orange skin, yellow, blue, green, purple? It doesn't matter. None of that matters. In fact, some of the visitors or the membership of the Federation look very different from humans, and some look very much like us. They look like they could be our brothers and our sisters and our cousins and our aunts and uncles or our parents. And in many senses, they are all of those things. Our bigotry and our ignorance is not a reason to dispute whether that is at all true or not. You know, if you don't have all the facts, don't criticize it, because you just imprison yourself in the same ignorance that they would keep you imprisoned in.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So when we talk about these people, this is not imagination. When you see their craft, and Liz Evenson sent me photos of craft appearing, taking out the chemtrails as they were being made. And some of the craft are Pleiadian in origin. They're not all from the Federation. And there was some surprise when the Federation saw the photos. There was a little bit of surprise as to the fact that there are others now beside them that are seeing what's going on. It's evident in the photographs that the chemtrails are being dissipated, like somebody took an eraser and just started erasing the sky. Kind of uplifting to see that, because we've been saying this, you know, on this show for 3 years, that we would begin to see these signs. And they announced that on my show on I can't even think of the date. It was in 2009, May 25th, 2009. And then again in July 29th of last year, we would see more of their craft. We would come to know it more, and the media would even start talking about it more. But what they didn't say is that there were going to be all of these battles. There was always a potential for that. We have battles going on in outer space. And I mentioned this, Greg Evenson. Greg said he's heard it too. And now he's got photographs of ships above his house. It's pretty convincing. These are not photographic anomalies. These are craft. And you can see some of them are partially cloaked. Some of them are fully in the photograph. And I can tell you that the people that took these pictures have no reason nor no means of altering these photographs without it being evident. So what you're saying is also backed by being backed now by more photographic evidence and scientific proof. These are nice looking craft too. I'm interested in sharing the photos with you and our other friends.
Oh, please do. Look forward to that. Well, I better sign off because I do have to make a trip and if you need a few hours sleep. So I guess we're out of time. It's been a pleasure, Don.
Yeah, I appreciate you being on the show and keep me apprised of, you know, what you hear and what's going on, and I'll do likewise, and so will our listeners.
And absolutely.
Till next Monday. Now, your website is atrueaunt.com.
That's correct.
And you also have meminerals.com.
Yes, those are my two websites, and you can contact me either website. Just send me a notice.
Okay. Till next Monday, then, I wish you a great week. Keep up the good work with your show. The show time slot is actually 2 hours before actually 3 hours before my show. It begins my time. I guess anyone else's time, for that matter, too. And that's on themicroeffect.com.
All right. From 7 to 9 Pacific time.
Okay. Okay, True. Well, you take care. Have a good night, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Don. Great show. Appreciate you.
Thanks. Safe. All right. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and Dr. A. Truot. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network. Also, I want to thank Seth Hendrick on the sound at bbsradio.com. Now Station 2. If you know people that have mentioned they can't find the show, we have moved it to Station 2. And if you're listening to the show right now, that's because you're tuned into Station 2. Also, want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us tomorrow night. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.